Good morning. As we continue in our sermon series, it worked out perfectly for the topic today to coincide with Mother's Day, and so we're going to start the last little bit of our steps. We've talked about studying, we've talked about tithing, we've talked about evangelism, prayer, and today we're going to talk about sacrifice. And that doesn't that go perfectly with Mother's Day? It's almost as though it were planned that way. And let me tell you, I can't take the credit for that. The Holy Spirit of God works and makes things happen. And this morning, we are the recipients of that. This week, I was sitting in my office and I was studying, reading, working on some sermons for the future, and I got a text message from a dear brother of mine who said, "I just watched this video, and you've got to use this in a sermon." And I said, "Well, what video was it?" Well, actually, I didn't. He told me, and I said, "Well, let me go look at that." So I went and watched it, and it is the video of Kevin Durant, this year's NBA most valuable player, his press conference acceptance speech when he got the MVP this year. Now, if you don't know anything about basketball, all you have to know is Kevin Durant went to the University of Texas. We won't hold that against him. University of Texas, great basketball player, and he plays for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And he's a great ball player, obviously, and throughout the league, he is the most valuable player in all of the league. And so he gets this award this year, and he does this speech, this acceptance speech. Well, the problem with it is that the video that I watched was like 8 minutes long. And I knew we had all this, you know, Mother's Day and a lot of stuff going on, and there was no way to fit or to cut down that video. So what I want to do is just kind of share with you a little bit about what Kevin Durant said in his press conference, accepting the highest individual accomplishment award the NBA or any professional sport has to offer. He talked about his teammates, and he said, you know, he went through one by one and said, you know, I appreciate this guy and I appreciate that guy. And then he talked about his dad and he grew up in a broken home and his parents were divorced, but his dad was still in his life. And then he talked about his brothers and all of his family. And then at the very end, as he started to become even more emotional than he had been the entire time, he looks at his mom, who's there in the crowd, and he said, quite simply, "Mom, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for you." And it wasn't just because she was a great basketball player and gave him great basketball playing genes, because by all accounts, we don't know, and she doesn't look very athletic. But he said, "Mom, you sacrificed so I could be here." He talked about his mom working four jobs to put food on the table, clothes on his back. And that's not all that working four jobs gave Kevin Durant. His mother worked four jobs, and whether she knew it at the time or he knew it at the time, she was teaching him what a strong, independent work ethic does for an individual. He said, "Mom worked four jobs. She gave money, she gave her time, she gave her support. All through his little league basketball career, she was there cheering him on, working four jobs to pay the bills, but always there courtside cheering him on and supporting him." And of course, tears in her eyes, tears in his eyes, and he looked straight at her and he said, "Mom, I am where I am today because of your sacrifice, because of the sacrifice that you made. You made this possible." He said, "You're the MVP. Oh, and the room was up for grabs. I mean, their people were just crying. I was watching it on YouTube and I was crying. And but isn't that the truth? Those that are sacrificed for accomplish more because of that than they ever would on their own. And those who sacrifice are content to be behind the scenes lifting those that they're sacrificing for. And on this Mother's Day, I want to talk about that very sacrifice. The sacrifice that happens when somebody loves someone more than they love themselves. And isn't that the love that we've all experienced? And we see this throughout the mothers and the women, the godly women all throughout Scripture, is that a mother's love is a sacrificial love. It's a love that's not concerned with self, but it's concerned with others. We see that all throughout Scripture, whether it's Hannah in the Old Testament, whether it's Sarah or whether it's Mary, whoever it is, when we look at the godly women, they display in their lives a sacrificial love that can't be required of them. It just comes from them. And a mother's love is certainly a sacrificial love. And the point of our lives, as we honor them, as we honor the godly women and the godly mothers in our lives and those who have brought us all to the point that we are, the point of honoring them is to love like they love, to follow the example that they set through their sacrificing love. To follow them as they follow Christ. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7 and following, it says that the love that we share, the love that we have, the love that we give to one another is a love that comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So the love that we experience, the love that we see, the example of sacrificing love that we want to follow, that we want to honor, that we want to glorify, that sacrificial love, it's from God. He teaches us how to love like that. So what is it that we learn? If you got your Bibles, turn over to Mark chapter 14, as Eli read for us already this morning. Mark 14 gives an example of that perfect sacrificing love. And so it begs the question, what do we learn? What do we learn from watching? What do we learn from experiencing this mother's sacrificial love? What do we learn from the love that we've all experienced, the love that comes from God, the willingness to make oneself a sacrifice? If you're in Mark 14, the history here, the context, what's going on in social media of the day is that there's a big trial coming up. There's a lot of drama in society right now in Israel because of this guy Jesus, and the Passover is coming, and there's all kinds of plots behind the scenes to get rid of him, but they can't because they don't want to mess up the festival that's about to happen, because they know that the people will riot, and there's just going to be this it's just going to be bedlam, and so the most important holiday of the year, and the critics and the enemies of Christ, they can't take it anymore. And so they're trying to figure out, how do we get rid of this guy? How do we, how do we quiet this uprising that they think's going to happen before we mess up the most important holiday of the year? And Jesus knows what's going to happen. And somehow, I don't know if it's the fact that she's been listening all along, following Jesus as one of his disciples, and she just kind of gets it before they do. Or maybe it was the Holy Spirit of God just leading her to this moment. But this woman comes into the room. Jesus is at a dinner, and this woman comes into the room and does this very symbolic, very specific, very ritualistic act, where she takes this jar, this alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, and she breaks it, and she anoints Jesus with this perfume, with this oil, and she, she coats his head and anoints him and soothes him and comforts him right there in front of, as my mom would say, right there in front of God and everybody. And it doesn't go unnoticed. The first thing that we see, the first thing that we learn from this example, this very powerful, this very specific example, is that sacrificing love is external. You see, this sacrificing love that we've all experienced from our mothers and the godly women in our lives and the godly women in this church is that a sacrificing love is a love that costs something. And it's cost something and it's external to the giver. You know, one of the things that that I love about this passage, not only is it prophetic in proclaiming the coming death of Christ, not only is it challenging to those who should have understood what was going on but had no clue what was going on. And not only is it challenging to me as a leader, as a preacher, that, you know, don't get so full of yourself that you miss the reality of the ministry that needs to take place, because that's what was happening right here. There was officials and teachers and all these people that were missing the whole point. They were doing the right thing, but missing the whole picture. In this lowly, having no rights in society, not very well thought of woman gets it. And what's lost in the scripture is that the perfume that was used was expensive, but the jar that housed it was broken. You see, you can get more perfume. You can get more pure nard. But you'd never get that jar back, would you? And on some level, we all understand that. Because we all have something, don't we, that means something to us. That there's no way to replace it. I mean, you can get other alabaster jars, but not that one. I mean, we've all got some heirloom, some something that mom gave us that came over on the boat, that means a whole lot to us. And what we find out in this is that the sacrificial love takes something that's important, takes something that's expensive, takes something that's meaningful. I mean, we don't know a whole lot about this jar, but in those days, that was a big deal. I mean, the perfume was expensive, but the jar was more than likely heirloom type stuff. And she just takes it and breaks it. It just destroys it. And not in a wasteful, but in a symbolic way of giving something to Jesus that I have no intentions of getting back. Isn't that what sacrificial love is all about? Isn't that what we learn from this and other examples that we've experienced? And you see, sacrificial love is concerned with the receiver. What she's doing for Jesus isn't really a need as much as it's a comfort. And isn't that the beauty of the love that we've all experienced from mothers and godly women in our life, that it's a love that moves beyond what we have to have for survival and starts to move into the realm of just what makes life better. And isn't that the extra mile, the above and beyond, the going further than can be required that makes that motherly, godly woman love that we've all experienced? Isn't that what makes it so sweet? You see, the difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day are many, but the fact is that we have such a fondness in our hearts for mothers and the godly women in our life because this is the example that they set. They go beyond need. See, dad'll provide for you what you need. You know, roof over your head, food, this and that. But mom's concerned not only with those things, but she's concerned with comfort. What makes life better? You know, kid has issues at school. Break up with this boyfriend or girlfriend, dad will give you sound advice. Mom will make you cookies and then give you sound advice. You know, dad will tell you, oh, well, this is how you ought to do it. Mom will just sit there and cry with you, hold you, make more cookies. Because it's about comfort, isn't it? Isn't that the little extra, the sacrificial love that goes beyond the need? See, Jesus didn't need to be anointed with oil. This was a comfort thing. This was like, you know, giving him a warm washcloth to wipe his face and his neck and to refresh him so that while he's sitting there eating that he would, you know, be overwhelmed with this, the aroma of this perfume and the oil that it was in. It was a comfort. It was refreshing. And so it was something, yes, it was ceremonially preparing him for his death, but it was more than that. It was in that moment he was more comfortable as a human being than he was before that moment. That's what sacrificial love moves beyond the need, moves beyond the sustaining needs and moves into comfort. What would make you feel better? It's the love that God has for us. It's the love that we see here, and it's the love that we're called to emulate. There's another thing. There's one other thing that I want to look at, what it means to learn from watching a mother's sacrificial love. And isn't it extravagant? You know, doesn't it go above and beyond? I mean, think about the anointing going on here. She could have used any oil to refresh him. But she used this very expensive, very aromatic oil. She used this thing that would have cost about a year's wage. And at no time was she going to be talked out of this. Think of all of the barriers. All of the barriers that she had to go through in order for this to happen. Not only the social barriers of a woman entering into this house where all of these men were, where all of these, you know, high-ranking official type guys and all of the, you know, not only was she going in there, which was unacceptable, but she was taking something that probably took most of her adult life to acquire. She was getting rid of it once and for all of eternity, never to get it back again. Do you think that at any time she stood outside the door thinking, I mean, can I go and do, man, should I, you know, I can keep this and, you know, I could, maybe I'll just use a little bit of it. Maybe I'll just go in and use a little bit of this and maybe... I've never seen sacrificial love counting the cost of what is about to happen. The scene in my mind is her, as soon as that idea hit her head that that's what I want to do, there was no turning back. There was no counting the cost. There was no considering, what other than this can I do? There was always, this is what I'm going to do, and there's nothing that's going to stop me. And I don't care if I have to be looked down upon even more in society. I don't care if I have to offend this person or that person. I don't care if it's wholly inappropriate in the eyes of others. I'm going to do this for my Lord. And I don't think it's any mistake that there were no men clamoring to break an alabaster jar to anoint Jesus. Because there's just something about that sacrificial mother's love that just comes out. That just happens. They don't have to be convinced of it. They don't have to be talked into it, and there's no way to talk them out of it. Dad, you ever try to talk your wife out of something that she wants to do for the kids, and you think, well, maybe we should wait and do it this other way, or there's a different way? Is that you ever successful in doing that? Bob's like, are you kidding? No. If you are, it's rare, because there's no talking them out of it. Because sacrificial love is part of their DNA. And one thing that I've noticed about that is that when it comes to sacrificing love, there's never enough. There's never, it's always, I want to do more. You know, at some point when she's thinking, I want to indulge me this behind the scenes look into this passage. What if she had this just a regular jar, just a clay jar that she kept perfume in. And she thought, you know what, as a symbol, I want to anoint the head of Jesus before his burial, before his death. And so she gets that and she looks, she goes, no, this isn't enough. And so she goes and she takes all of the money that she's got under her mattress and all the money that she's got, and she goes and she buys the most expensive, the most beautiful, the most aromatic oil that she can buy, and she goes to buy it. She realizes, oh, I'm going to need a bigger jar. And so she says, well, I'm going to trade all this in this jar, and there's a bigger clay jar, and I'll take that, and so then I'm going to take all this perfume. Oh, well, I've got enough now for the really expensive stuff, and I'm going to get that, and I'm going to fill this regular old clay jar with that, and I'm going to take, this is what I'm going to take. And then she's taking, she goes, well, I need a, man, this is oil that's going to anoint the head of the Savior of all of humanity before he dies on the cross for our sins. I can't carry it in this. The oil needs to be honored more. So maybe she goes back to her place and she finds a little more money and takes all of the things that she's ever collected and all of her possessions, and she gives it all and she sells every bit of it to buy this alabaster jar, because what she has isn't enough. She wants to do more. And there's never a question of, I'm going to keep going, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. And so she sells everything to get this alabaster jar, and she puts the perfume in. And so this handful represents the sum total of her life. Because what she had in her hands, a year's wage, it's might as well be $1 million. The ability for her to just have that is next to impossible. What she did to get it, what's not written about in Scripture, but what I am convinced had to take place in the days and the weeks leading up, was nothing short of 100% self-sacrifice and collectively pooling all of her resources into this one thing that she's going to take. And she's going to break. She's going to pour out to glorify God. You see, sacrifice does not happen without love. Each one of us in this room have experienced this very thing. Maybe your own mother, maybe it wasn't your mom, maybe it was just a lady in your life that you grew up close to that just did that kind of sacrificing, that would just live that kind of life. See, that's real love. There's never enough. It's never enough. I can always do more. And see, that kind of love doesn't exist without sacrifice. But let me ask you this. How do you think she felt leaving that room that day? Probably just gave away everything she'd ever owned, all the money she'd ever saved, to the glory of God. You think she regretted it? You think she thought, oh man, I probably should have thought about that a little longer. Or do you think she just left leaving feeling like, oh, I'm so happy that I could do that for my Lord? We've experienced love like that. We've experienced moms and godly women who have given more than was ever enough. And they left the room happy, proud, delighted to do that. Not sure what they were going to do after that. We've all experienced that. And our goal, we want to give mom, the ladies in our life, flowers or new shoes or nice dinner. You know what we can do? We can try to love like they love. We can sacrifice like they sacrifice. We can give more than could ever be required to the glory of God with no regrets, with no second thoughts, and with a look in our eye that tells the world, you're not going to talk me out of this. I don't care what conventional wisdom or social norms say is okay. You're not talking me out of it. Can we be those kind of people? Can we honor God as we honor the godly women in our lives, perpetuating the sacrificial love that they've shown each one of us? Charlie's going to come. He's going to lead us in an invitation song. And after this, we're going to honor the moms and the women in our church, in our lives. But my goal this morning is to ask us to be better, to live, to love, honoring the sacrificial love that we've all experienced. Can we do that? Can we do that not only today, the rest of this week, the rest of our lives, as together we stand and as we sing?